All right, showtime. Chaplain Bradley, would you lead us in the flag salute and then some kind words?
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father, truly we're grateful to live in a nation that is gives us the freedom that we have, especially to participate in our government. And as the items on the agenda today are considered, we just pray for wisdom, understanding. And Father, help each of us to know that we're servants. Keep us humble in our ministry and our service. And Father, we want to give a special thanks for our road department for the good job on the roads during the storms. And God, you blessed us with moisture that we've needed. And we just want to give you thanks for that. In all things, we want to bring honor and glory with our lives to our citizens and to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Ready. The board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. County Service Area 3 and County Service Area 4 and receives no additional compensation. Let's see here. Alrighty. Roll call. Supervisor Hopps?
Present.
Supervisor Cogstad?
Here.
Supervisor Chris?
Present.
Supervisor Ogren?
Present.
And Supervisor Valenzuela?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Time for presentations from the public. Time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You'll have 3 minutes. We'll do your presentation, and matters should be limited to items that are within the jurisdictions of the board. Any public comment?
I have no report.
Okay, moving on. We're going to move on to item 5, our consent agenda. Any wishes from the board?
I'd like to pull 5L.
L, as in Larry?
Yes.
I'd like to pull 5E1 and 2.
Anyone else?
That should be
motion.
It.
Move to approve the balance of the consent agenda.
Second.
Chris or Valenzuela?
Either one.
Okay. All righty. Roll call vote. We're going to say Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsep.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes. Item L.
Who will be item L?
Human Services, Behavioral Health.
Good morning, Angie Davis, County Administrator. We have the Director, Tracy Lima, who is available to answer any questions that you may have.
Tracy,
come on. Good morning.
So I get the intent of the contract, but what is not clear to me is that it's pretty much carte blanche. It doesn't define a one-time or a full-time FTE. It says part-time. And it has a lot of mays and not shall. $160,000 should provide enough revenue to have an FTE for a full year. Why isn't that more defined?
So, hopefully this is working. I didn't hear it when I was sitting back there. The reason that we keep things in a looser term when we do these types of contracts is because it's an as-needed. It gives us the room to pay only for what we're being charged for. So that's why we write the contract in that way. Does that answer that question?
That helps. Okay. But in the contract, it says it'll start out part-time. So that does it reduce the $160,000 if it's not used, based on what you just said?
So we encumber the $160,000. Mm-hmm. And basically, we start to subtract as we receive bills. So we budget, basically we ballpark for the part-time fee or the hours. And then as the position gets more established, we look to see exactly how much time is needed. So we give ourselves the maximum and kind of a minimum range. And if we utilize the part-time person, and those are the only hours that we get charged for, and then the services around that entire amount, then that's all that we spend, and then the money just doesn't, it's not expended.
Okay,
so
it's
it,
reduced.
It will not.
Yeah, it's reduced from the 160.
It is reduced. It's not used.
Right.
Correct.
Got it.
Yes.
And then do other cities have this availability as well, or is it just a city partnership?
I'm unsure if other cities are partnering with law enforcement. I would venture to say they are, because if we look at the shift in the state and the state's interest in how we address the mentally ill and homelessness, we're just, as we're being mandated to go out and do mobile crisis, we're told if you bring law enforcement, that's, you know, you're at risk of being sanctioned. So they want us to be out there. They want that mental health to be the first layer as opposed to law enforcement. So this, to me, is a small step in that direction, which keeps our county employees as safe as possible using a law enforcement person, but then also partnering with that person, so bringing that to perspective.
And then lastly, what percentage of the amount is, I'll call it, for admin versus the position itself?
So under, I printed out the actual cost. The part for admin, under Mental Health Service Act, it's a very finite amount that is allowed to be charged for admin.
Okay.
And it can be up to 15%, but not above that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Helps. Mm-hmm. Move to approve. Thank you.
Sir. Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstad.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure. Item 6, public request. We got first 5, Siskiyou County Children and Families.
We have E1 and 2. Oh. This was pulled because Melissa knows which one it is.
Oh.
One of the agreements was off.
Good morning. I'll make this quick. So on the item 5E1, the Sheriff's Management Unit, there was a minor correction on the very first sentence of that side letter. It should read, the county and the Sheriff's Management Unit met and conferred in good faith and agreed to the following referral and signing bonus.
That's it?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Move to approve with that amendment.
Yes, sir.
Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Kopstad.
Aye.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, now we get on to item 6, public request, first 5. We're going to proclaim April as Child Abuse Prevention and Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Good morning. My name is Karen Potts, and I'm part of the First 5 team. My role is the Executive Director, and thank you for your continued support of First 5 as the local Child Abuse Prevention Council. And
I'm Carla Taraga, Executive Director for Siskiyou Domestic Violence and Crisis Center, and we're part of this collaborative effort.
We want to acknowledge, first and foremost, the amazing partnership that we have with Siskiyou Health and Human Services. Want to thank all everyone, specifically for this project, Corey and her team, and Susan Corey Watson, and Susan Cervelli and their team for their continued work with us. Today you have the proclamation in front of you to designate April as Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. In addition to that, we have some information and resources for you about the efforts. We want to thank you because it's because of the collaborative work that we do with the community partners, including the family resource centers and schools and Cradle to Careers and others, that that we're able to continue to work towards prevention. As I was sharing with someone earlier last week, I thought, imagine the possibilities if we didn't have, imagine the impact that we would have if we didn't have all these prevention programs. So thank you for choosing to make prevention a priority and supporting community efforts.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Since we do this every year, are we making any progress?
Are we?
It fits into my, you know, my
not,
trying to be,
right?
To be a
56
no,
I was ready, Commissioner Venezuela, or not, Board of Supervisor Venezuela, right? I was ready for your, so, and I thought, you know, here's what I would say is, if we didn't do it, we would see the results. We know from evidence that when we build protective factors, which is provide concrete support in time of need, we offer parenting education. Carla is one of our facilitators. Carla, are we making impact? Susan and others see every day. If we were to bring all the parents that benefit and say they're better off because of these services, I would say absolutely. Absolutely, we're making impact.
Yeah, so I can just speak from personal experience. I don't know, where are we now in terms of the state, do you know, for the child abuse? We used to be like second to the bottom, and I think we're not there anymore. So that's definitely improvement.
Yeah. Thank you.
Karen, can you give me the brand of the
tomorrow?
But on a personal basis, I teach the nurturing parenting class in Weed, and it's an ongoing class. It never stops. People can jump in at any time. I get a lot of court-mandated parents, so they're either going through dependency court or custody issues, out of custody. And I can tell you that I have some parents that have been attending longer than 3 years, because once they come, they have a support and social network, and they just, it becomes part of their social interactions that they do every week. They have childcare, they have dinner, they get to talk to other adults and support each other. And I can definitely see improvements even with the parents that are there because they're court mandated going through the dependency. That socialization and just those skills that they're learning are really helping. And for us as the Rape Crisis Center in Siskiyou County, it's a really good partnership because out of my class, I can say about 95% of the moms that I'm working with are victim or have been at some point victims of domestic violence or sexual assault. And having that parenting, then they kind of have a face. They're much more likely to reach out and come and get services or work for their friends and family to us.
For the amount, budgets are statements of value, right? So if we look at the amount of money that comes into our county, in our society for prevention, I can completely say on behalf of all the partners that when we prevent, when we invest in the prevention and the amount of resources that we put in prevention, there's evidence that shows that there's at a minimum sevenfold return. So based on research, based on our evaluations that Supervisor Kopsev hears from the commission meetings, we absolutely believe that we make a difference. But what I'd love to hear is what you think. Do you feel that we make a difference?
Start having more kids, one to five.
Yeah. Hey, if my kids would get on the program, give me a grandkid. I'd be part of the program. You know, I think I always struggle with the fact that we're a poor rural community, aging population. You know, we have a full jail. We have the whole litany of things that, you know, homelessness, you have full parts of that. So, I know you guys are doing a great job. And I can't imagine if you weren't there doing it, where would we be? You know, I do believe we're making that effort. I think what I'm trying to see is how can we get to the next level to drop us a little bit farther instead of being last, to try to get into the middle range of some sort. You know, it's just an ongoing battle that we got to do.
Didn't Carla say that, though? I thought you said we
have moved up, yeah. So we used to be second to last.
Right.
We're definitely higher up now. When First Five first came, mm-hmm. we were second to last in child abuse rates in the state. Yeah.
But I'm talking overall, collectively, the whole spectrum.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, yeah. It's just we all have to keep working.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing the jobs we're doing.
Good morning, Supervisor Board. Susan Cervelli, Deputy Director for Social Services over Adult and Children's Services. I wasn't necessarily prepared to stand up today, but I will answer your question in retrospect. As to our numbers in Children's Services, over the last couple of years, we have seen a significant decrease in the number of children that have care, as well as a shorter time frame that they are staying in foster care, and this is contributed directly to the services that First Five, acting as our child abuse prevention council and providing other services, has provided. They are one of our lead service providers in the county for parenting and other classes, as well as domestic violence and other services that are court ordered. We saw some of our lowest court maintenance cases, which are our cases that have come before the court and kids that have been placed in foster care or family maintenance during the first couple years of COVID. Unfortunately, right now we are seeing a little bit of an upswing in the children coming into care due to some effects of COVID and the isolation that happened during that. Over the next year and probably the next couple months, and we have already seen some things come across the board for the Family First Prevention Services Act, which is a large movement that's a federal movement that the state of California has invested in. We will be focusing on prevention services. The state is contributing significant allocations and money down to the departments at the county level to invest in our community for front-end services. So we're hoping that these services will also have a significant impact on the cases that we're seeing and investigating up front, and we can get to those cases before they ever actually come to the attention of child welfare. This will be one of the first times that child welfare has undertaken prevention activities prior to investigation and taken the lead on those services. It's a huge impact on our department, and we are so very thankful for the support of First Five in those efforts, because it's a huge staff undertaking as well as introducing new services into our community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Appreciate it. Charlie, you said we were second to last before?
Yes.
If you can give me the where we are.
Carla. I don't know where we are. I just remember.
I do not know.
I will always ask this question, so you guys are going to have to come
prepared. I will work on getting that answer to you, sir.
Thank you.
I always steer away from that because our numbers are so small and so skewed as to our county. It really is a non-comparison. We like to compare ourselves to others in the other 20 small counties in California for which that we coordinate services with, and I can get you that answer off.
And then maybe that's the appropriate thing. That I don't need to go against Marin County, who's number one. Show me where I stand amongst my peers.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So I kind of want to share a story, if real short.
Absolutely.
Susan brought something up. So right now I have one mom in my class that is going through the dependency. She is about to finish her 12th session and get a certificate. And what she wrote to me when she asked me for the letter is that as soon as she gets the letter, she believes her case is going to be closed and she's going to receive her kids back. And I have seen tremendous change in this mom. When she first came to the class, I wasn't sure. She was pretty difficult a little bit because her socialization was just really not mainstream. I'll just say that it was a little. But I think hearing all the other parents kind of learning from, I think what is the most beneficial is learning from all the other parents. And she has blossomed. She's smiling now where she wasn't before. She's talking. We're trying to convince her to stay, and I think she might because it's an outing for her. She was really socially isolated. So that's just a tiny example of one success story in my class.
And really, I think when we think about child abuse prevention, we think about the families that have struggled so much that they're part of the system. But the reality is we want all children to succeed. We want all parents to be supported. One of the biggest things that we want to continue to advocate is the role of the community, the role of the neighbors, the role of the those in the church groups to be the supporters of families. You know, because when parents are strong, when parents have the resources to be successful, their children are strong and successful. Imagine, you know, I often see, if it's okay, Supervisor Kopsev, I often see the connection that Supervisor Kopsev has with his grandchildren. I've seen it over the years because they went to our local schools. And I thought, imagine if the isolation is the number one thing that getting people out of isolation is the number one thing to get to prevent child abuse, right? So imagine if we have community members that become the grandparents, that become the supporters of the working parents or the parents who are struggling, so that we could move our community to a better place for children, so that we can say all children matter, regardless of the challenges that their adults have. Because the reality is, when we don't, we have experiences of what happens to them when they become adults, right? We get that continuation of impact on challenging childhoods for children in our community. The other piece that I think is important, that I really appreciate, I was just reminded about a case that if it wasn't for the adult, the parent who had learned about child abuse, the signs of child abuse, that she spoke up and she did something about it, the child would have been victimized by these very, very bad people in our community that have impacted many, many people, both in and outside of this community. So I think education, care, compassion, and faith and hope, but the unity in our work is needed to continue to prevent child abuse. And it starts not by the agencies, but it starts with the community. You know, it starts with our faith community. It starts with neighbors who say, "How can I do? What can I do to help things get a little bit easier for you because you don't have a grandpa in your family circle?" So, thank you. And please take a few minutes and look at all the resources and materials. Supervisor Valenzuela, I always appreciate your question, and we always appreciate your question. And all of you have done a phenomenal job of supporting us, as well as our county partners, including Behavioral Health and MHSA, who are the key funders of our parental education program. So thank you so much to all of you and everyone who makes who creates the space for childhood to be a place of play rather than challenges. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I just want to thank Supervisor Costa, who's, for as long as I've been here, I think you've been on that first five commission, mm-hmm. Fund. So mm-hmm. I think there's something to be said because you've been here just as long, and I appreciate all the effort because it's an ongoing effort.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
18 years, and Carla, you've been around for about
that long because my daughter was a baby, and she's going to turn 18. But I want to invite you guys to our open house. It's going to be on Denim Day, April 26th, I believe, from 11 to 2. And we'll have food there, and you guys can tour our facility and kind of learn a little bit more about the services we provide for our sexual assault clients.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring a nice hard copy?
Yes, I did bring that.
Did you have any questions?
Yeah.
Hold on, okay.
I had two questions.
Yes.
First is, I was looking for some statistics or something here about demographics, you know, or geographic areas in the county. Are there hot spots, if you will, and do we wait for the business to come to us, or do we target those areas?
We absolutely will continue to work on the specifics of the child abuse prevention data. But if we look at, we have extensive data, like overall, that predicts, the child abuse rates. And do you know, Susan? Do we have community zip code specific data? Thank you.
Our continued hotspots continue to be the Waireka and Montague area, and with isolated pockets within Happy Camp and Tule Lake. South County is one of our lower referral areas at this moment, but that's sometimes just due to reporting trends and others that come across.
Supervisor Hope, one of the thoughts that I had is we'd love to bring up the evaluator for Applied Survey Research who does all of our work. Perhaps we could schedule a time for her to come and do a presentation about the findings. The quickest way to see how we are as a county as far as the impact of the work by community is to look at the first five annual report that includes the child abuse prevention information. And I certainly can make sure that each one of you have copies of that. And it's also on the first five website.
Okay. Any others? I'm interested. How does the clergy interface the program? Is it formal, informal?
What I would say is we it's ebbed and flowed. When Community Services Council was the Child Abuse Prevention Council, we had, thanks to you, We had a phenomenal, much stronger partnership, and I think we can do better. That's an area that we absolutely need support and champions to help us with that, because it's, they're a critical partner in this.
Thank you.
It's always hard to get services to the more remote areas, but I know that I've traveled down to Happy Camp. I'm going to Tule Lake next month twice for some trainings and workshops, and we're also going to be doing the darkness to, I'm doing the darkness to light, which is the preventing child sexual abuse presentation. It's about a 2.5 hour. So we make an effort. I speak Spanish, so when I hit the Tule Lake community, I'm usually doing these presentations bilingually. Mm-hmm. We're so grateful.
Anyone else? Okay.
Thank you so much.
We need a motion on
this? Yes.
So moved. Approved. Second.
Okay. Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbs?
Aye.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Von Swift?
Yes.
Thank you for your
support. Thank you.
I'll forward that concluded document to you.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy, so much.
You're welcome.
Can you grab that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, we'll move right along to item 7, Department Request, Health and Human Services, Public Health Division.
Did you guys get the handout? Just handing it out now, the statistics.
Oh, great.
Is that all it was, just the rates?
We have tried in here, we've tried turning everything off. This one has to be
Thanks for having me. So I'm here today to talk about the rise in syphilis cases in our county. It says congenital syphilis cases, but also just the general rise in syphilis cases in the county. Hey, I'm Dr. Stutz. I'm the health officer for the county. Thanks for having me. So as you can see there on some of the statistical data we handed out, that data is actually for Northern California, the Northern California counties. It's just kind of a generalized set of graphs that demonstrates the increase in syphilis cases in the northern part of California. This is a trend that is actually nationwide. Syphilis has been on the rise. If you go to the CDC website and you type in, search for syphilis rates nationwide, you'll see that since about 2010, syphilis cases have been on the rise. I think this is probably multifactorial. I don't know if anyone really knows the reason that it's on the rise, but I have some ideas, but they would be pure speculation. As Supervisor Valenzuela had mentioned, we're a poor county. We have a reduced number of resources to offer the community. So here in Northern California, I think we bear the brunt of a lot of these health problems. So we're among some of the worst counties in the state for the increase in syphilis. Specifically, here in our county, we've noticed over the last 3 years that we've had about 3 congenital syphilis cases diagnosed, which is super unusual. In my career, I've never actually seen that, and at public health, I don't think anyone who actually works in public health has seen a case of congenital syphilis for over 10 years. This is highly unusual. So in recognizing this, we have sort of formed some strategies to address this in our county in conjunction with some of the other counties that we're part of as part of our public health collaborative Rancho group. So last month we had our first meeting for the syphilis task force and developed some strategies to address this. Those include building relationships with our primary care providers, our emergency care providers, and all stakeholders really, obstetricians, parenting classes, prenatal and perinatal counselors, home health and home visiting services, first five, children's play groups, and other involved stakeholders so that we can get the word out to the community. This presentation is part of that. We have our public information officer producing messaging, paper flyers, posters, social media messaging with videos to try to get the word out to the community. And as well as just in the healthcare profession generally, getting healthcare providers to recognize when a patient is at risk for syphilis and how to treat them. It's a simple simple treatment, one or two doses of antibiotics, but it does require recognizing that the patient is at risk, performing a test, and then treating them empirically, really, if you think that they're high enough at risk without having to wait for the test result. Another part of our strategy is offering sexually transmitted infection testing to the community for free. So we've been with the help of a program called Let's Get Checked. So anyone can go to public health and request a Let's Get Checked kit, and that tests for five separate sexually transmitted infections. And they can actually perform this test at home, and then it gets sent by mail, and then they can receive the results through public health. So we're currently trying to figure out how to manage the results that come back to our office. Should we offer testing through public health, or should we refer them to their primary care physician, or to urgent care, or the emergency department? So, that's it. Any questions?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the syphilis by type, the stats, and you know, obviously the graph. But it says northern region, so is that for the northern region or is that for Siskiyou County? The graph?
That graph is from the northern counties, yeah, the Rancho counties.
So we've had, I'm looking at the 2022, 31 cases in the northern region.
Yes.
That doesn't sound like a whole lot population-wise, but I see the trend.
Yeah, the numbers are small, but when you compare them to how they have been, right. They're quite large.
Anyone else?
Is there education towards prevention?
Yeah, so that's part of reaching out to the first five groups, the children's play groups, and that sort of thing. Sex education and prevention is obviously part of that.
Are there any roadblocks you see in our processes or procedures that we need to work through?
I think just as was mentioned before, since we're so rural and we have very little access to primary care in general, that's a huge roadblock. It's really difficult to reach some of these at-risk populations. So the at-risk populations would include homelessness, drug addiction, incarceration. So just in the last year, I think we've probably diagnosed about 10 or 12 cases in the jail, more cases than I've ever seen in my career combined. So it's that population that's difficult to reach when they have no primary care and also perinatal care. So the three cases of congenital syphilis we've seen over the last 3 years, those people have no prenatal care. They never saw a physician before they showed up at the hospital and delivered their baby. So that's part of the problem as well. So getting people in contact with basic prenatal care, basic primary care is the main issue with it.
And we're partnering with the clinics like Mountain View clinics.
Mountain View, the primary care clinics that we do have, but also the emergency departments where we may see somebody just one time and we may suspect that's what's going on. But the general thought in the emergency community is, okay, we're going to test them and they'll follow up, you know, with the results of their tests and maybe get treated. But oftentimes that doesn't happen. They get lost to follow up because we never see them again. So we've been encouraging both emergency departments and emergency personnel to just treat if they suspect syphilis is a cause of patient's symptoms or involved in their presentation. without waiting for the results of the test to come back, because it's a one dose of penicillin that's all that's needed.
Right. And I take it you're working with Skylakes from East Kelly, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of people who use that ER Kelly Valley area.
Yeah, and also through the California Health Alert Network, just basically sending out public service announcements for health providers specifically to let them know to please treat empirically without waiting for test results.
Do they do that in Klamath County as well?
I don't know. It's a good question. Okay.
That's who Bee Valley Chill Lake uses, the Klamath County Hospital, the Skylakes.
Anyone else?
Just one quick question. Is this something that you're really promoting in schools as far as sex education and health classes that you're pushing a little bit harder?
I mean, I would love to do that. I haven't done any of that myself. I mean, we have that on the list of things that we should do, but yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Keep us apprised. Hopefully the trend goes the other way.